So how many of you like it when your idea or creation gets stolen, usurped by someone else? You like that? That's why we have this thing called trademarks. That was what I was looking for. Patents, trademarks. Yeah, I had such an injustice happen to me one time. Amir, can you lend me just a little bit? Grade school. Science project. We came up with what we thought was this really unique idea to use foam spheres and wires to make the solar system. Well, day of presentation came and other people had the same idea. The injustice of it. Yeah, how many kids have had that idea since foam balls and yet is they take it and twist it into something it wasn't meant to be. Something completely, utterly offensive to you. That's exactly what's happened with the rainbow. Ask most people now, even if I were to have polled you this morning, and asked you, what do you think of when you think of a rainbow? You think of two-thirds of the alphabet. But that's not where using the rainbow as a symbol came from. It came from the one who made the rainbow. And he gave it as a sign. It is now in our culture, and I think maybe globally, has been usurped. You know what? People can usurp things and take things all they want. It seems like most of the cults have all the good names for churches. But that doesn't mean the truth isn't the truth. And if we turn to Genesis 9 this morning, I almost said Noah 9. Genesis 9 this morning, we come across the rainbow given as a sign. And regardless of what anyone else says or does, no matter how prevalent other ideas or practices may be, in the simplest of words, the rainbow is given as a sign, a symbol, that the maker of heaven and earth is just and merciful. Now we'll unpack that as we go through the passage, but that in its simplest terms is what the rainbow is actually about. And it's for everyone. Join me in prayer, then we'll read Genesis 9, 1 through 17, and go through that passage in some chunks. Lord God, the reality is that all that exists was made by you. We were made by you and in your image and for your glory. And we take what you've created naturally and usurp it and use it for that which is offensive, disheartening, saddening to you. But here we are, still breathing. The sun has come up because you are merciful. And there's not one of us that doesn't need your mercy. Father, as we gather now and continue to gather and we look to your word again, have mercy upon us. Transform our minds, our thinking. Grant us to understand what you have done in giving the rainbow. Whenever we see a rainbow, no matter where, even one in print or on a flag or in a window or a shirt or a car or the real ones, most importantly, but anywhere, may our minds would turn to you, maker of heaven and earth, and we would know that you are just and you are merciful. Grant this, we ask, Father, based upon you being merciful, gracious, abounding in steadfast, faithful, loving kindness. Grant this for your sake, for your glory, and to our blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 9, 1 to 17. I'm going to read the 17 verses first, and we'll go back and look at some chunks here and see how this all fits together and tells us what God intended with the rainbow. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every living thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. And you, be fruitful and multiply, teem on the earth and multiply in it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. In case you missed the past couple of weeks, this is after the flood, after Noah and his family and the animals therein escaped the justice of God through the flood waters. The ark was brought to rest. Out they came. And this whole section is God speaking. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, God said to Noah, this is a sign. It begins and ends that way. This is all God speaking. And when God speaks, listen. Pay attention. Especially when you're in narrative, which is what this is. Narrative is story, not fiction, but it's still story. A record of what took place. And sometimes you simply have events, and this happened, and that happened. And you're always trying to figure out, well, what in it is divine communication about what should be and what will be, and what in it is just what happened. When God speaks, pay attention. Because that's going to be clear. What is God communicating? Through the events and things that happen, sometimes it's not so clear, but when he speaks, there it is, plain as day. And this whole section is plain as day. Right? He's given them the rainbow, as we call it, in the sky, after the rains. That's the sign for them. But let's break it down just a section at a time and see what's going on in this whole section that begins and ends with God speaking and focuses in on the giving of a covenant and the giving of a sign of that covenant. In the first seven verses, we have really an issue or issues of justice or rights. Where do you get the right? And it starts out with, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now that should sound familiar, right? We've heard that before, right? Where? Genesis 1. Yes, that was not a rhetorical question. You can actually speak when I indicate you can speak. Otherwise, it just becomes chaos and disorder. Genesis 1. When God first made man in his image, male and female, he made them, and he said, Be fruitful and multiply. So it's kind of like do-over, reset, right?
that the light multiplying on the earth and filling it and rolling over all the living things and even getting to eat them.
Even more so, if an animal kills a person, the animal just gets put to death. And even more so, if a person takes someone else's life, that person is to be put to death. Where do we get that right? Who decides that's justice? Oh, the one who made it all. The one who's made it, the one who's given it, the one who's given this command, and this is very clear in 6, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made him in his own image. See, God who made everything, including man, male and female, he did it in his image. He has the right to say what is right. He is the basis and the standard for what is right or just. It was that way in 1. It's that way now after the flood, which he brought about himself. It's him. Take him out of the picture of what you have. Who's to say what's right? How do you think he is? Well, the group decides. Well, what about when the group decided it was okay to have gas chambers? Oh, they were wrong. What about when the group decided it was okay to have the killing fields? Oh, well, they were wrong. What happened when the group decided no-fault divorce was wrong? Oh, they were wrong. What happened when the group decided marriage between man and woman? Oh, well, they're wrong. Now the group decides differently. Right? It just keeps going. Who decides the punishment, the consequences for someone who murders someone else? The group? Do we go back to science? Science, which is today, pseudoscience, full of lots of faith? Something happened, and how did it get from there to here? Gazillions of years! Smoke computers. The idea that we all came from one man and one woman, now from 8? The idea that we all came from nothing or one cell? But if you run with that, what's the basis for justice? Well, we are. Either the group or the one in power. Where does that lead? Well, not just described creatures. It's the Creator. He's the basis of what we are here. By all means, go without a stake unless it causes your brother to stumble. That was a reference to Corinthians and Romans. Someone commits murder, capital punishment. On the basis of 2 or 4 witnesses. Where do you get off? The one who made it all. Everyone's inescapable and everyone has some concept of justice. And that concept of justice is usually tied to, well, who has ownership or who is affected by this? I'll tell you a little example. A friend of mine took some video footage of someone doing burnouts, Brodies, donuts, in another friend's business's parking lot. So making the parking lot have a bunch of donut, tire mark, Brody marks, whatever you call it, you know, skin marks all over the parking lot, which looks bad. If you're coming to a business, it's kind of like, what goes on here? Plus, it scatters rocks everywhere, all over the windows, the business, and the sign. So my friend, he posted that footage and says, anyone recognize this car and know who this is? And someone responded to the post, oh, what are you doing posting that? Leave him alone. What's it to you? So my friend saw who posted it, looked up their address online, and replied back, how about if I come do donuts in front of your house at such and such street and location? That's great. Whoa, now, the sin
truth of injustice this person expressed. Well, what do you mean? And I know where I live. And why are you going to come condolence in front of my house?
Why are you trying to protect someone who's messing with someone else's business?
Because
it didn't matter to them.
Well, we all get it, right?
If you want to take your brand new $150 sneakers and spray paint them aqua blue, go ahead. Please don't do that to mine. Who decides what justice is? The one who's made everything and given it. God alone is the basis of the standard for justice. God said, God gave, God blessed. And even if a man should take another man's life, or a woman a man's, or a man's a woman, that one of them, their blood should require, for God made him in his own image. Verse 8, then God said to Noah and his sons, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and the beasts of the earth. As many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. Now God makes a covenant. It's unilateral. It's one way. He's making it. He's giving it. Covenant's like a contract or an agreement. He's making it. He's the only one that can. But notice here that it's between everyone and everything that has breath in it. Even animals and birds and creeping things. Why? Because that's what was affected by his justice in the flood to begin with. Yeah, the plants were affected, but they don't have the breath of life in them. He has given it to every living being. So really, we're going to get to the rainbow in a minute, right? Really, the rainbow was given as a sign for every living being, not for one group. Not even just for Christians, for the church, or just Jews, but for every living creature. Maybe a dog. Maybe a goldfish. Your cat. Every living creature. Between God and them. All living things. And what is this agreement? What is this contract, so to speak? Really, it's a promise. It's a commitment. Verse 11. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. And never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. It's a promise not to destroy by flood. Now, does that mean all of a sudden justice just went out the door? No upholding righteousness? No, the whole first section was about upholding that and what that's going to look like. And there's an account to be given by any animal or person who sheds the life of a person. So it's not that justice goes out the door, but he promises here, not by a flood will I destroy the earth. Now you and I are like, yeah, big deal. Yeah, because you don't get PTSD when it rains a lot. Of course, it doesn't rain a lot around here anymore. But imagine Noah and his family, and even their kids. How come none of us is around? Why is it just the 10 of us? Well, you see, that giant wooden structure over there, and they hear the story. Noah and his family starts to rain. What are they going to think? Time to get back in the ark? Is the earth going to be flooded again? No. They could have their minds and hearts set at ease that when the rains come, a flood devastating the entire earth is not coming. It's God's kindness and mercy given to them.
observed to all living things, notice that came out of the ark, to all the life that was preserved through God's justice in the flood, and is now given the opportunity to multiply and fill the earth once again. Right? Take two. Chapter one was take one, and then we got take two. But again, it doesn't mean justice has been thrown out the door. A couple chapters later, Tower of Babel, they're going to get dispersed. And then if you were to read through Scripture, the prophets, Isaiah, God says, judgment is coming on the whole earth. But if it starts to rain, don't think that that's how it's coming. But it is coming, because God is still just. Hasn't come yet. God is merciful. This is not the first time we've seen justice and mercy. Think it only in the past 8 chapters. Where have we seen justice and mercy before? First 8 chapters.
Cain and Abel.
That's right. Cain killed Abel, and Cain was given protection. And before that?
The garden.
Adam said, nah, I got a better idea. I think you're keeping something good from me. I know what's good. I take, I eat. Now they're barred from the tree of life as well as the tree of knowledge good and evil from the garden they were in. But they were allowed to live and multiply. And even when Cain took Abel's life, another child was given to them as he had said. With the Lord, there's an acknowledging that God gives. That's mercy. And yet there's justice, as we read, and he died, except for one Enoch guy, who walked with God, who was no more, for God took him. But there's death, justice. And even though there's death, there's life, there's marrying, there's giving in marriage, there's having of kids, there's mercy. When the flood comes, justice. And yet, life is preserved, and life will go on, and life is going on. Mercy. And that promise in this covenant is basically, don't fear that judgment's coming when it rains. And yet, who's saying this? The basis and standard for justice. The one who created everything. The one who brought the flood to begin with. So, justice is going to be upheld. It's just not coming through a flood. What is the sign? This part's easy, right? We've already said it. We know it. Verse 12 and following. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For all future generations, I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. The rainbow. He established it. He has given it. And whether it's a single one or a double one, our response might be, wow, a double rainbow. Whether it's a single one, wherever it is, this is where it came from. And this is what communicates what it is truly about. And the sovereign maker of heaven and earth, and the one who's given breath to all the life that is, the one who provided escape and deliverance through his justice on that ark, is still just, and he's also merciful. And His mercy, He allows life to go on.
Till He finally judges once and for all. But it won't be by water. It won't be by water. Again, I think the most important part of the outline are all the other verses that I would love to take you through, but I would probably lose things along the way, to go on and look at these particular New Testament passages. Because we can connect this now very easily with the reality that we know since the coming of the God-man, who is Savior of all who would believe in Him, and also the judge of the living and the dead, as Peter proclaimed when he evangelized in Acts 10, and as Paul proclaimed when he evangelized in Acts 17. He's a judge. Who's a judge? The one raised from the dead. And right now, all who believe in Him receive forgiveness of their sin. God is merciful and gracious without jettisoning, it's a fun word, justice. Because that's what happened on the cross. So see, you're right to be on the cross, but we didn't get to there yet. At the cross, justice is upheld. The sinless one, fully man and fully God, then becomes sin for His people. But they become the righteousness of God. Mercy. We are in a time of mercy. So long as we have breath in our lungs, we are experiencing mercy. That we might come to be right with the Maker of heaven and earth, the one who gave the rainbow to begin with. How is that possible? Trusting in God's word. Here's the word Noah had, but also remember the word that was had before Noah, that was the basis for Noah being named Noah. Genesis 3:15. In the midst of the justice, God giving the consequences for rebellion in Acts chapter 3, to the serpent, to the man and the woman, in 3:15, there's hope. There's hope that the curse will be reversed, that the garden will be restored, that walking with God in the garden would be possible again, even everlasting life. That's what Noah was banking on. That's what Noah's father was banking on. That's what Adam and Eve should be banking on as they name their kids. If you've been reading along and didn't know the rest of the story, and you paid attention to 3:15 and not to the flood, you'd be saying, but this can't be the end of everyone, because Satan has not yet been crushed. That's right. In that time, he hadn't, but he has now. His defeat is secured by the Son of God, who satisfied God's justice and made known His love and His mercy. So now, yes, we see the rainbow, we see the cross. Or generically speaking, generally speaking, that the Maker of heaven and earth, who gives the rains and takes them away, who's given the rainbow in the sky, who's made everything that we know of, we're beholden to Him. He's the standard. He's the basis. He's the reason why I have some inkling of life beyond the flesh. And some inkling of the fact that there's justice. And He is just. And the guilty will be punished. But He's also merciful and gracious, providing a way. That's what the rainbow is a reminder of. And for us now, knowing the way provided, we could go through the book of Isaiah. The whole world is going to be judged. And yet in that same book, right, in 53, the suffering servant, marred beyond recognition. What is going on there? The mercy of God. The book of Romans, how logically and literally it lays it all out. None is righteous, not one. No one seeks God. All fall short of His glory. Of the free gift of God. if freedom was sickness, that we were yet sinners, Christ demonstrated the love of God and died for us. I know it's a little difficult, it is for me. My kids make comments when they see the rainbow flag. Even being flown outside a building that's a meeting place for a supposed church. And what they don't mean is that the sovereign maker of heaven and earth is just and merciful. But that's what it means. And those who have usurped and twisted that symbol need his mercy, but no more than we do. Deserve justice no less than we do. But for the blood of Christ. I said it before and I'll say it again. That's why we as Christians can actually forgive and release the consequences, the punishment, and the justice. Yes, in this life there may be some sort of justice if someone commits a crime against you, but even ultimately, right, that doesn't cover it ultimately. But we know that ultimately, that person will get justice meted out upon them unless Christ has taken it for them and it's theirs by grace through faith in him. Either way, justice is actually satisfied. Sweeping it under the rug, forgetting about it, moving on. Justice isn't satisfied. But in Christ it is. One way or the other. He fully paid. Or he will come and render eternal consequences for those who haven't believed in him. Same God in Genesis 1 to Genesis 9, Romans 5:8. Sovereign, one in control, all-knowing, all-powerful, maker of everything that we know. And he is just. You know what that is, even if your idea of it is off. And he's merciful. That's why he's given the rainbow, to remind us of that. And for us, we can easily connect that to his mercy and justice on the cross. That's who he is. That's what he's done. That's what we're to think of whenever we see the rainbow anywhere. Because that's the truth. And that's the truth that sets free. Join me in prayer. Father, we've taken the very bodies and lives you've given us and misused them. You are no less grieved now by the wicked intentions of our hearts than you were back before the flood. Merciful and gracious, abounding in steadfast, faithful loving kindness, providing for a way for life and reconciliation. Father, thank you for your mercy, your kindness, for life you give and provide for, even in the midst of or through the reality of your wrath. Father, that you would grant that your truth would so rip our minds that when we see a rainbow, we would rejoice in who you are, righteous, just, merciful. merciful and gracious. And as ones who now know that by the ultimate demonstration and the ultimate accomplishment of justice being upheld and love poured out, because we now live after your Son has come. Grant us, Lord God, to see and think the mind of Christ, not our own. And to demonstrate to others the mercy and grace we profess to know. That they too would come to rightly know you and walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.